Well, folks, we have the chance to learn from, again, someone new here for our culture segment this week. And this guy, I'm going to be honest, maybe not for some of you, but in my estimation, he's kind of a youngster in his 20s. We are going to be talking to Michael Daniels. He is the author of Becoming Mr. Right, A Young Man's Guide to God-Honoring Relationships. So, Michael, welcome to the Boundless Show.
Hey, Lisa, thanks for having me on the show.
Well, hey, it is fun to have you here. And this is so interesting because when I first saw this book pass across my desk, I was like, what in the world? This guy already, you know, has insights to share on relationships and stuff. But it was quite a little process for you. It's funny because I would say a guy who's, you know, as young as you are wouldn't necessarily say, oh, here's absolutely something that, you know, guys in my generation need to be hearing. So talk a little bit about the journey that made you decide to actually start sharing what you've learned on this topic with other men in particular.
Sure, absolutely. I think, you know, when I was younger, I had some troubles in my youth with contentment in particular, which eventually led to me idolizing relationships. And with that ended up leading me into some misery, basically, because I wasn't trusting in God and making Him my first love. And, probably around maybe, my early 20s is once I ended up listening to a sermon series, which really impacted my life. And what was so different about the way that this preacher approached relationships was just that he took just Bible-based counseling, biblical principles, and applied it to the topic of relationships. And this just really impacted me and made me want to pursue relationships differently. And from there, I was able to apply those principles, and God just kind of blessed my pursuit in that area, which eventually led me to my now wife.
No, that's great. Well, and I think what's interesting is you actually really have it as a passion of yours to mentor younger men. You know, I think there's a lot of us that feel like, oh, you know, maybe when I'm 60, then I'll start mentoring people or whatever. But I think you've taken it seriously to say, no, I mean, even though I'm only, what, you're like mid-20s now?
Yep. Okay. Yep, I'm only 26 years old.
Okay, so 26-year-old guy, and you're like, no, I'm a few steps ahead of some of the guys out there, and so I want to do that. Right. And I think you're doing it LifeSpring Ministries, right? And LifespringMinistries.net, for folks who want to check out what you have going on, is kind of one of the things that you're doing in light of that.
Right. And that's kind of the, you can call it the banner that I fly under. And it's kind of goes along with the book, but it's also kind of the ministry that I utilize in order to reach out to young men. And you're right, just because of my background and experiences, that's what I'd like to basically take those experiences and then give them to young men and say, hey, you know, I know I'm only a few steps ahead of you, but here's what I do know.
Yeah. Well, so you mentioned, I mean, you've been married now for about 3 or 4 years, I think, to Mandy.
Right.
So what would you say, I mean, kind of looking back to when did you first start thinking of, okay, I need to be in a relationship or I need to start prepping for marriage or whatever? I mean, and what would you say? I mean, did you say you'd moved into a kind of a point where it became like, you know, it became too much of a focus? Like all of a sudden relationships kind of became the thing? How are some ways that we can really make sure that we are putting God first and not making an idol out of them?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I would say probably, I started thinking of relationships pretty early, probably around the age of 14, you know. So
that's not a very early. Marriageable age, but yeah.
Not really. Okay. Not exactly. And I think, you know, when it comes to the topic of age, one thing that I wrote in my book was just kind of a simple math problem, and before all of our listeners, you know, kind of tune out, you know, here is a really easy math problem. So, you know, don't get too worried about that. But basically, you know, the math problem I presented was just, you know, hey, what age do you think you'd be marriage ready? You know, and maybe some people might say 25 or something like that. And then you can take your current age, which, you know, let's say if you're, in my case, I was 14 and you're 25 minus, you know, 14, and you're talking about 11 years. And, you know, so that, right there, that's how long I would have to wait before I'm marriage ready. I think that ends up, presenting a lot of complexities. You know, so if you're too young, then, you know, you could have some temptations due to a long wait, or may, you know, present other temptations along the contentment area as well. And when it comes to, you know, just making Christ our first love, you know, it's just, the thing is that there's a more important relationship that we should focus on, and that's our relationship with Jesus Christ. And the reason why, or not the only reason why, but a big reason why, is if you want success in the area of relationships, you're going to need his help. And you can see that from John 15:5, which just says, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And then Matthew 6:33 also says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you.
Yeah. So what, kind of getting back to what you said about, you know, that marriageable age or whatever, I think there are a lot of young adults out there that think, oh, you know, no, I'm going to just focus on my life or my career right now, and maybe when I'm 29 or 30 or whatever, I'll get married. And then others are just more like thinking about it even in college and stuff. What would you say, how can a young man or woman know if they're mature enough to pursue a relationship? Like, is there, I mean, I'm assuming it's more than just about a magic age. So what are some [S2] Right. [S1] Of those ideas or some of those benchmarks or character things that you should have in place?
Right, right. You know, and I think, you know, for young men in particular, what I think of is kind of a readiness in career. So, you know, if you kind of think through things logically, you know, if you're hoping to start a family someday and you want to get married and have kids, you know, and perhaps, you know, you've got convictions around homeschooling and you want, you know, your wife to stay at home with you and, you know, or stay at home with the kids and homeschool and such, you know, you have to think through those things and ask the question, you know, where would I like to see my family, even though I don't have one right now, I haven't even met my soulmate, where would I like to be, you know, 10 years from now or even 5 years from now? And so, you know, with that, I would say, you know, a career is a really important thing to have in place, you know, so just so that you have enough in order to provide for your family. And I would say maybe even independent of your wife's income, not that it's a, you know, requirement or anything, but just it's wise to do that in order to help provide when you guys do have kids, so that you can free up your wife to be all that God desires her to be for her family.
Yeah. What I know one of the things that you say specifically in the book is kind of this idea of, you know, don't focus so much on who you're going to marry, but are you becoming the type of person that God wants you to be in right. marriage? What would you say, especially now this side of marriage, are you seeing as some of the most important qualities to look for in a potential mate for both men and women? And they may, I mean, it may be things, I think there are a lot of different things like, you know, that maybe a single guy might think of versus now what you know, this side of marriage is truly important. So kind of help us shed some light on that.
Right. Absolutely. Well, you know, I think the first thing that, you know, comes to mind, but first I just want to preface, you know, nobody's going to be perfect in every area. You know, with that, you know, it's good to look for somebody who's willing to, who's either growing in a specific area or is willing to grow in those areas and is even showing some progress. But there's, you know, there's a lot of different things that you can look for in a potential spouse. For instance, if you look at, you know, the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, you know, you talk about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all wonderful characteristics to look in a spouse. But, you know, the first one that really comes to mind for me is just teachableness. You know, so is, you know, the person that you're interested in, is your significant other teachable? Are they willing to grow? Are they willing to embrace scriptures? And if they aren't, then, you know, that's kind of a roadblock for them in their spiritual journey. And so I would say that's one thing to look for in a spouse.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Really, for both, I think both sides of the equation, for both men and women.
Right.
Any, like, I know that one of the big challenges today in our culture and beyond is this idea of sexual purity. And yep. And of course, we know that begins generally in the mind and heart. And I think there are a lot of challenges, not only just in the culture, but also even within the church for helping young adults in this area. So what would you say, what are some practical tips for men and women to guard both their hearts and minds and remain sexually pure until marriage?
Right. Well, I mean, I think the first thing you got to people have got to understand is one, is that it's just the gospel message itself. And that's, God forgives. That's part of it, saying that, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from not just, part of unrighteousness, but all of unrighteousness. And I think that's a wonderful promise to rest in because, for young men out there, for young women, for people who are looking to get in a relationship, if they have a past that is, let's say, marked, the fact is that God looks at them, if they're in Christ, as a blank slate. They're clean. He looks at them as if they're his own son. And so, from there, they can kind of be able to address, after they know that they're forgiven in Christ, they can move on from there and begin to address some of the areas that are in their life. And one of the things that I talk about in my book is kind of a sowing and reaping principle. Galatians 6:8 says that for the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And so with that principle, I kind of just took it and just said, hey, if you're allowing certain influences into your life, whether it be through media or, some music, television, the movies, et cetera, if you're entertaining those things and letting them, infiltrate your life, then you can expect that you're going to reap a very specific kind of plant. If you sow a seed of corruption, you will reap a plant of corruption. And so, so that's just a practical way in order to address some of those areas in their life. And if you don't mind, I'll just say one other thing, too. So we're kind of told what to not focus on, but, we can also address what we do focus on in life, and that's Philippians 4:8 says this, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, pure, lovely, commendable, or excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about those things." And when our minds are dwelling on things that are of God, that'll help us in our own purity and our own walk with the Lord to focus on things that won't lead us into temptation.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I think so many even Christian young adults kind of tread into the area of, I'm not having sex before marriage, or I'm being careful not to do XYZ. But a lot of the challenges that I see coming about nowadays are with almost the idea of emotional intimacy and just going too deep too soon, forming too much connection for the level of commitment in the relationship. What would you say, what are kind of some signs maybe you've seen that this could be a danger zone for folks? And what would you say, especially for men in conversations and as they're interested in a young woman, that they should be watching out for?
So sure, that's a good question. So, what happens a lot of times is, like you said, people get too emotionally involved too soon. And what that can lead to is attachment. And sometimes, and that's good and all proper within marriage. It would be undeniable to say that it wouldn't happen to some extent even before marriage. But it's really good to just, be careful when you're first getting to know someone, and be very prayerful. Because if you really want to figure out whether or not this person is right for you, you want to seek out God first. Before you start jumping into the relationship too deep. And so, go to the Holy Spirit, ask him, is this the right person for me? Is this the person that you want me to pursue? And wait for a peace from him before you move forward. Because as we know in Philippians, it says, if we pray to him, that he'll give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. And so let that peace from God be your guidance in that situation.
Sure. Yeah, good point. What would you say, Michael, as you kind of think of the young guys that you're talking to, on a day-to-day basis, or the ones that you are mentoring, What are some of the biggest challenges that you're hearing from the young men that you mentor, like specifically as they're thinking of growing up in Christ and preparing eventually to be married and have a family? It seems like there would be, you know, a number of different arenas where they would have challenges, but kind of that, you know, on the ground intel, what are you hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I think the one that comes up often and probably most is the area of sexual purity. You know, that and also career planning. It seems like those are the two ones that are kind of on the minds of a lot of young men. And what happens is, I think they feel trapped, you know, in certain sense. So if you talk about, you know, the topic of pornography or along those lines, you know, a lot of times they don't want to share that information with people, and so they feel trapped. Like you know, when they talk to me, I've heard them say several times, like, I feel like you're the only person I can talk to, but I also know at the same time that there's plenty of other men, other Christian men out there who are more than willing to talk about that subject with them. And so, you know, I think it's just important, you know, to, you know, go get counsel from other people, to be humble, and, you know, go talk to a trusted Christian, you know, if it's their church elder or their pastor, talk to them and say, hey, you know, I'm struggling in this area. I need help. And we know that, you know, there's a verse that says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So we know that God will give them grace in that area. And so I'd say, you know, that's something that they could try to take the first step in order to address that area in their life.
Yeah. And when you're talking about getting counsel from mature family members and friends, church leadership, what are maybe a couple good questions for them to lead off with? If you're going to go and spend some time with someone, say, you know, hey, you've observed me and this girl at church or whatever, I'm kind of wondering what you think. What are some good types of things for you to be asking about the situation or about the relationship?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So, I mean, so you're just talking about, you know, you go to a counselor and say, so what do you think of this girl that I'm interested in particular? Is that correct?
Yeah. What kind of things should they be commenting on, would you say?
Sure. I mean, you know, one thing I think is important is, you know, what Proverbs 4:23 says. It says, you know, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. And really the part I want to emphasize in that verse is just, you know, this is, you know, is the person you're interested in guarding their hearts? And that could be in a number of different areas. It's such a general question. But they could go and ask, you know, a fellow family member or a church elder, one who knows the person that they're interested in, and ask that question, you know, what have you seen of this person that I'm interested in? Do they guard their heart? Are they one that is, you know, are they flirting around with other people and kind of, you know, putting their heart out on a platter? You know, are they protecting themselves in the areas of purity? Some questions kind of along those areas. And I kind of feel like that would be one of the first questions just ask is, you know, hey, is this person guarding their heart?
Yeah, absolutely. Are there ways, just kind of a caveat, we talked a lot about preparation before marriage. What would you say 3+ years into marriage now, what are some ways that you've really seen yourself mature as a man through being married?
Oh, sure. One of the areas that I've grown in a lot is just kind of understanding, basically through my wife's example, basically how Christ loves me more. And it's just amazing because as I get to know my wife, and she's so self-sacrificial, she loves me, she really, you know, does everything, you know, at her own expense for me, really. And what I realized through that is that as I get to know her more, I get to know my Savior more. And just because I think of how Christ sacrificed himself for me, for my own salvation. And so as you live longer in marriage, I think your relationship with Christ even becomes closer, just for that reason alone.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right. Well, folks, we're out of time, but the book is Becoming Mr. Right, A Young Man's Guide to God-Honoring Relationships. And I've been talking with Michael Daniels here, who is a young man who has learned a lot through his process of courting his own wife and moving towards marriage and now being married to her, and is actually has flipped that around and is now mentoring younger men, even than himself, along that journey. And so we actually have the book available here, y'all, so we want to be able to get you a copy for a gift of any amount to boundless.org. We're going to make this book available to you. So a really practical piece, really infused with scripture and a lot of hope for those of you who want to pursue not only God himself as a single person, but then your eventual spouse with integrity, with purity, and with just with a desire to glorify God in all that you do. So, Michael, thank you so much. Again, folks, the book, hop over to boundless.org. Just click on the resource and we'll be able to get a copy to you. Michael, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I really appreciate it. It's been great being on the show.